Septuagesima Sunday. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, do you not know that those who run the race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run, not without a purpose. I so fight, as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest, perhaps, after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Yet most of them God was not well pleased. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth, and he did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found them standing about, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in turn came, they thought they would receive more. But they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who has borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today is a very special feast. It's a very important day, for today is Super Bowl Sunday. And in America, it is elevated to a national feast. As many of you know, we've heard the hype all week, and it is occurring tonight, where eventually one of these teams will be victorious. And we will see the pictures tonight on the internet or tomorrow in the newspaper or on television of the victorious quarterback who had led his team to victory holding the trophy over his head. And there'll be pictures and the confetti will be floating down and there'll be speeches and music and there will be a great honoring of these people. Their home cities will throw a parade for them. Because they won the Super Bowl. This is what St. Paul is talking about in the epistle. He says, "Do you not know that those who run a race all run indeed, but only one receives a prize?" And then he goes on, "They to receive a perishable crown." He's referring to the Olympic Games in the ancient world or any of the sporting events where the athletes would train in order to win the prize, of course. And what was that prize? It was a crown. It was a perishable crown. It was a laurel wreath. I think we've all seen the pictures or cartoons. It's a little wreath of laurels. It's usually a horseshoe, and it only comes up to here. It doesn't go all the way around, usually. And the victor will be crowned with laurel leaves, and he'll get to wear that. And the laurel leaves will only last about a week or two, and then they'll wither and die. And St. Paul is comparing the sacrifices that those athletes make for that perishable crown with the true crown that awaits each of us in heaven. You know, this week, there's probably been interviews, I guarantee you, there have been interviews every year, interviews of certain players who have made sacrifices in order to be there at that championship game. Or any sporting event, anyone who follows the Olympics, there'll be some kind of human interest story about someone who sacrificed getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out at the pool. Or these players here tonight, they sacrificed in high school, college, and their pro career, striving to be the best. And now they are at the top of the game, and they are the best. And the sacrifices they've made is for that perishable crown, that trophy. Chrome, it's a chrome football that will eventually rust away and disappear. The Olympic Games, you win a gold medal. That gold will go the way of the world. It will pass with the glory of the world. Any competition, even the Nobel Prize, you win a gold medal and some money. But that will not last. That is a perishable crown. And the sacrifices the people made for that, for those winnings, should be our inspiration, as St. Paul is saying, that we need to strive for a true crown, one that is eternal. And just as these athletes make tremendous sacrifices in their life, so we have to do that in our life. He says, everyone in a contest abstains from things. They make sacrifices. They, indeed, to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. For we have to abstain, he's saying. And then he uses himself as an example. I run not without a purpose, meaning he's not doing these things for no reason. He's doing it for the crown in heaven. I fight not as beating the air, meaning he's not shadow boxing. Not a very politically correct thing we would say today, but you know, he is, you know, making contact. He's hitting his foe and making progress. I chastise my body to bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected, lest I am considered a hypocrite. That this is what we must do. We must strive to make the sacrifices to gain our crown in heaven. You know, oftentimes in today's world, it seems like everyone just kind of floats along and everyone just goes to heaven without a problem. That's not what St. Paul is saying here. He goes on. He says, for I would not have you ignorant, brethren, for our fathers were under the cloud. Who's our fathers? Who's he referring to? He's referring to the Jews after they had been freed from slavery in Egypt. Moses brings them through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And there they lived. And he's referring to that. They were under the cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. They passed through the sea and were baptized. That going through the Red Sea is a prefigurement of baptism. They were slaves before, but then when they go through the Red Sea, they're free. Just as we are baptized. We are slaves to sin, and then we're baptized and we're free. And they all ate the same spiritual food, the manna that had come down from heaven miraculously. And they all drank the same spiritual drink from the spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. Remember, Moses would strike a rock outside the camp and the water would come out for them because they were in the middle of the desert. And then he says what? Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. So why is this? Because God gave them all equally. They all received these graces equally. But if you read the Old Testament, people rebelled, people grumbled, they complained, and God would strike them down. He would send a plague, and he would there would be other terrible things that would happen because of this. He wasn't pleased. He would give the graces, but only few would benefit from them. And St. Paul is saying the same about us. We have all received baptism. We receive the same spiritual food, the communion. We've all been confirmed. And yet, are we benefiting from that? Are we benefiting from that? In today's gospel, we read about the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And it might not seem to make sense as to why this matches with this epistle and why it is on this day Septuagesima. But we have to remember the deeper meaning of this parable is that that day, that laboring day, is our life. And that those who are called into the Master's vineyard, into the life of Christ, early in the day, are those of us who are baptized early in life. We're baptized and we do the Lord's work for our entire life. And then we know other people who have conversions throughout the day, throughout their lives. Now, we've all heard of someone who's lived a dissolute life. They might have been baptized and just rejected it and lived the most terrible life. Or maybe they were never baptized. And on their deathbed, after living this horrible life, the priest comes in and hears their confession and anoints them or baptizes them. And that's it. Everything goes away. And they are able to go to heaven. This is the lesson from those who are called in on the 11th hour. And many times for us, we feel a little envy. We say, you know, I've worked my whole life being good, striving to be good, and yet this person here slides in the last hour, doesn't have to do anything. That's not fair. And God's response is, do not be envious because I am good. We say, I have worked the heat of the day, the worst time that nobody wants to work. Do not be envious. But why is this gospel and epistle here? Because today is Septuagesima Sunday. We wear violet in the extraordinary form on this day. This is to remind us, this is a little season before Lent, if you recall. In the new Mass, in the new rite, they did away with this. The priests are in green this Sunday. But we're in violet to remind ourselves that Lent is coming. It's 2.5 weeks away, and that we have to get ready for it. And that's what these readings here are for us, to remind us to get ready for Lent. That is the heat of the day. That is the most difficult time in our life when we have to do penance. And it should be real penance. You know, the church gives a great deal of freedom these days in terms of penance. The only thing we're required to do is fast and abstain on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday and abstain from meat on Fridays. That is far, far less than what the church asked for in the past, or required. I shouldn't say asked for, required. But that is the minimum. We are supposed to do more than that. The church has given us freedom to choose a penance particular to ourselves. But what really happens oftentimes is people don't do anything. We just float along through Lent as though it's like any other time of the year. And, oh yeah, I should probably order the fish rather than the chicken Friday night. No, we should be doing penances. St. Paul tells us that those who run make sacrifices to obtain their perishable crown. We need to make sacrifices to obtain our imperishable one. The heat of the day is upon us. It is not pleasant, but it is not impossible. That we need to prepare for this and to choose our penance now. What do we want to do? This is what these readings here are for, to remind us. Lent is coming, and we need to prepare for it. It's 2.5 weeks away. Those players who are playing that game tonight and every other athletic competition, every other athlete who is a world-class athlete has made great sacrifices. We need to take them as an inspiration that we need to make sacrifices also. So let us prepare for Lent. Let us think about what we are going to do and to really strive for that imperishable crown. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.